All right, if you have your Bibles, if you'll please turn with me back to the text that we read a few moments ago, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. The theme this week, last week at Vacation, if I say this week, you know I'm referring to last week, okay? The theme last week at Vacation Bible School was discovering God's forever forgiveness. You might see that somewhere on some of these brochures. I don't know if it's on that sign or not, but discovering God's forever forgiveness. And every lesson that we talked about on Monday through Friday night was revolving around one main Bible character other than the Lord Jesus. Of course, he's the main Bible character every time we open the Word of God. But the other character that we were looking at from the Bible is Peter. Peter. We joined Peter at the Sea of Galilee as a fisherman. And then we went all the way through the time of Jesus' ministry, which was 3 years. We had several Bible lessons each night, and we ended with Peter back on the Sea of Galilee, quite frankly, if you remember in John chapter 21. Peter, after the Lord had been crucified, Peter, John, and several other disciples went back to fishing, which was their original career. But there was a lot in between there that we talked about, discovering the forgiveness of God. Peter made a lot of mistakes, but Peter died for Christ in the end. Church history tells us, and even God predicted it, not predicted it, but God talked about it, Jesus talked about it in the Bible, that Peter was crucified upside down, just like the Lord, only upside down. Yes, Peter did deny the Lord, but we see that God's forgiveness is forever. And I think that's something that we need to recognize this afternoon, anew and afresh. And so we come to a Bible passage that I have preached on this passage before. I'm sure you have read this passage. Possibly not everyone here has, but you're very familiar, quite possibly, with this particular text. And it just so happens to do with Peter. Peter coming to the Lord Jesus Christ with a very interesting question. We saw that in the verse in verse 21. So let's pray, and we'll continue in this. Please do your best. I know it's not near as warm as it has been the last few weeks, but you're waving yourself is great. Feel free to do it. And if I get really hot, I come back and sit by you, and I can get a little break. So seriously, feel free. If you need to get up and you need to get some air at the back door, feel free to do that. But thank the Lord, it is quite a bit cooler today than it has been. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we just witnessed with this church of the future. Future pastors, future missionaries, future Sunday school teachers, future nursery workers, future deacons, the future of the church on this platform and these young people. What a great responsibility we have to lead them in the right way. And Lord, I do believe today that forgiveness is an area that we need to lead them in according to your word. So open our eyes to your word now, and possibly there's someone that needs to open their heart to you and get saved today. Please draw that person to yourself, and may they receive the gift today in Jesus' name. Amen. In the text that we read a few moments ago, Peter brought a question to the Lord Jesus Christ regarding how many times someone should be forgiven. In fact, it wasn't just a question of how many times someone should be forgiven. It was a question that Peter was asking, how many times should he forgive someone? So he wasn't asking necessarily for everyone else, but I'm sure other people were hearing it. The teaching of the day, in the day in which these folks lived, was that you were to forgive someone three times. Three times. And yet, Jesus here says, if you see our text today, Peter asks a question. Should we forgive him seven times? You know anything about seven? This is God's number of perfection. I don't know if Peter was thinking, well, seven is more than three. Seven is a really good number. And so, how about seven, Lord? Is that enough? If somebody is wrong to me seven times, and I forgive him seven times, is that enough? Jesus takes it a step further, and we read that a moment ago. He says in verse number 22, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. God in His Word is telling Peter, just keep forgiving. Just keep forgiving. And by the way, you'll see this in a moment. It's a beautiful picture within this story of your life and mine. By the way, we can be found in this illustration that the Lord Jesus gives to Peter. We are found in this. Keep forgiving, Peter. Keep forgiving. What is forgiveness anyway? Forgiveness is granting a pardon. Forgiveness is pardoning the payment. Forgiveness is pardoning an individual. Forgiveness. Everyone in here in this room today has asked for forgiveness. You have asked Jesus or the Lord God to forgive you. You have asked, I'm sure, your fellow man at times, man or woman, to forgive you. We definitely understand the need for forgiveness. Forgiveness is, in another sense, putting my faith in God to remove the hurt that has come as a result of someone's deed. We all would agree today, would we not, that when someone does something to us that is unkind, that is harmful, thank you, that is mean, we can say, well, I've got thick skin. Really, I don't know if we have thick enough skin. Because there's no one in this room that can say to me that words have never hurt you. Sometimes people can say some of the most unkind things to one another. Unfortunately, it can be under the same roof. That means a husband and a wife, or a parent and a child. Sometimes it can be someone in the family of God. Sometimes it can be someone really close to us. But it might be beyond something that someone said. It might be something that someone did. Ultimately, forgiveness is putting my faith in God that He will remove the hurt that has come to me. Believe me, if you hold on to that hurt that has come to you, that hurt will do way more damage down the road than the original hurt did at the beginning of the process. Forgiveness is putting my faith in God to take away the hurt and replace it with the pardon that I truly need to forgive someone. And I know many a times our first response to this is, but they don't deserve to be forgiven. Humanly speaking, there could be some merit to that statement. But I believe Jesus, if you allow me to say it, I believe Jesus squashes that idea in this text. Let's see what He has to say. Number one, by way of an outline, we're going to see the reality of the servant. The reality of the servant. I love how the Bible speaks to my heart in this text, and I hope it will. Notice, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. Underline that word. If you underline words in your Bible or circle words, that's a key word. Again, Jesus is giving Peter an illustration to help him to understand forgiveness. And He says, there is a certain, likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. I think we recognize that a king of any particular land or kingdom, if you will, is number one. Okay? You don't have assistant kings, typically. You have a supreme authority. And so that's who Jesus talks about here. It's a story. It's a parable about forgiveness. Verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him. Brought unto who? The king. All right, we got to stay awake. One was brought unto him. That was brought to the king. king, which owed him 10,000 talents. So we see this servant that was brought in front of the king owed a debt. Okay, just think about that for a moment. The servant owed the king a debt. Says, and Jesus uses these words, that he owed him 10,000 talents. Now let's look at a couple of other words in here in this text. Let's look at the word reckon. Reckon. That's not a word, unless you're from the deep south in the U.S., that you would use on a regular basis. And it's not I reckon like you would have maybe heard on Andy Griffith or something like that. But the word reckon here means to be taken up to settle an account. So here is the king, and the king is sitting on his throne. This king is very furry. There's the king, Mr. Bear, sitting on his throne. The king had many servants. And so one day, one of the servants was brought to the king. I won't do that. Probably a little bit too... That's VBS, all right? I got to get out of VBS mode. But someone was brought to the king that owed a debt. He owed a debt, and it needed to be repaid. The king had every right to expect his servant to pay their debts. For whatever reason, the debt hadn't been paid yet, and so now it's time to reckon the account, which means to settle the account. Then we notice something else that was owed. It was 10,000. In other words, it's just like the idea of 70 times 7. The number really, I mean, it's important, but it's a number that was countless. It was so high. I hope it's not like your credit card or my credit card statement. Amen? And, that bill comes in the mail. Oh, no, I owe. In other words, that's what it means. When you pay your bill at the end of the month, God willing, that's what happens, right? You pay your bill, that means you've reckoned your account. Visa, MasterCard, all these companies, they hope you let your account go and go and go and don't reckon it every month. In this case, it was time to pay the king. But notice the next word quickly, talents. Talents, a measure of weight that was put on a scale to represent how much was owed. This servant owed the king 10,000 countless number of talents or weights. You can imagine that servant coming to the king. Can you picture this, please? You owe the king 10,000 whatever. Fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. I know the Bible says talents. I'm not trying to say, but you owe a heavy debt. What it's saying here, Jesus is saying here, it's just too high. And you know that when you get to the king, you got to pay up. I'm sure you're not going to be running to the king. I'm sure you're not going to be along playing hopscotch getting to the king. I'm sure you're not going to... Somebody got a jump rope this week from the store, and I said, oh man, that's been a long time since I've done jump rope. I'm sure you're not going to get your jump rope out and jump rope to the king and smiling away, and I can't wait to pay my $10,000 debt. I picture this man, again, when you read the Bible, please read it literally, because it is a literal book. This man is on his way. Now, this is a story, but still, think about it. He's on his way to pay a debt. He has no idea how he can pay it. Ever been there? He's on his way to settle a debt, and he's got 500, needs 10,000. Think with me now. It's not going to work. And this king has the power and the authority within his realm to pay up or else. Pay up or go to jail forever. Pay up or die. The point is, he's walking, he's on his way, he's making his last journey of life, possibly. Freedom, possibly, is going to be gone because he has a debt that needs to be paid. The debt was undeniable. The debt was unpayable. Put yourself in the position of this servant going to the king. By the way, let's pull back for a moment. Let's pull back the curtain for a moment. The king, I believe, is a picture of God. God is all powerful. God deserves all worship. God deserves all praise. God spoke this world into existence in 6 days. Genesis chapter 1 and onward there. I love the Bible because it doesn't give any proof of God. It just says, in the beginning, God. Amen? In the beginning, God, who 6 days created everything, who's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's everywhere. Earlier today, they were meeting in Australia and New Zealand. I think that's one of the first time zones to get into the new day, somewhere over in that way. There might be others. We have missionaries that we support in both Australia and New Zealand. They were long done with church. They're already into Monday. God's there on Monday and He's here on Sunday. That's God. By the way, that God loves you. That God loves me. That God wants you in heaven forever. That God wants to forgive you, but here I am. Here I am, robed in flesh. And I've got to go to God. By the way, someday, everyone's going to stand before God. Pick your judgment. It's going to be the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. You'll be at one of those. You don't want to be at the great white throne judgment. Because the Bible tells us then it is too late. If I could go and you could come with me and you could see today, you could go with me as we approach God. This is a representation of God, and I have the weight of the world. It's called sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Romans 5:12. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This was the message all week long as we talked about discovering God's forever forgiveness. But it's not just for 4 to 12-year-old kids. It's for 45-year-old adults like me. And however mature you are today, it's for you too. But we must recognize this. God is holy. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. You can't hide anything from God. I can't hide anything from God. I go over to God and say, God, I don't owe you 10,000. I only owe you 1,000. Liar, liar. We go to God with a heavy weight. Let's pick it up here. Otherwise, we're never going to get done. It says in verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, okay, he's trying to get some bills paid here. And he was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. It's immeasurable. But for as much as he had not to pay his Lord, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had. He didn't have 10,000 talents. The Bible doesn't tell us how much he had. It just says he had not to pay. And so the king said, all right, sell everything this man owns. And then pay the debt. There was great. I see another bit of emotion. I see some despair in this man. Look at verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. You know what I see there? At least in the first part of the story, I see a man who owes a great debt, who realizes he can't pay the debt, and he drops to his knees. That's some despair. Desperation, right? I mean, I'm about to lose my wife. I'm about to lose my children. I'm about to lose my house. I'm about to lose whatever this man had because he owed the king. Don't get sidetracked on why he owed the king at this point. That's not the point. The man had a debt. We know we have a debt to God. If you don't know you have a debt to God, we talked about it. We have a sin debt. He falls to his knees. Verse 26, Lord, have patience with me. Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Give me some time, Lord. You can see them. Can you see the man on his knees? He's desperate. At this point, the man is, I see humility. Lord, have patience with me. I'll pay the bill. I don't have it right now, but I'll pay the bill. Just give me some more time. Wow, what despair must have been going through that man's mind. I believe this man exhibited some humility. I also believe he exhibited some hopelessness. He had to appeal to the love and compassion of the king. Why? Otherwise, he was doomed. Otherwise, he was the king, had the authority, he had the power to either pardon this man, to forgive him of his debt, to take away the debt that he owed, kill him, put him in prison, whatever. This man realizes, he realizes here in this part of the story that this king is his only hope. I want to ask you, have you ever come to the place in your life where you recognize that the King of Kings, God Almighty, Creator of the universe, the God of this book, have you ever come to the place in your life where you realize this, that unless I get right with that God, and he cannot be contained in a chair, I'm just using that as an illustration, that unless I get right with that God, I have no hope. And I'm doomed forever. That is the message of the Word of God, my friends. Remember, we're discovering God's forever forgiveness. This man came helpless, hopeless, but we see a sense of humility that he's on his knees and he's bowing before the king. How does the king respond to this servant? We see that in verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. As the king was on his throne, and the servant is on his knees, have compassion on me. Give me a chance, king. The Bible says that Jesus used these words, moved with compassion. There was something inside of the king that began to change his mind about this servant. The king says, Bible says that he was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Hold your place there in your Bible, please, and quickly turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be coming right back there. Ephesians 1, verse 7. We read in the Bible, In whom we have redemption. The context of these verses, if you look up to verse 5, the him in verse 7 is referring to, in whom, that's a person, it's referring to Jesus Christ in verse 5, okay? But for time's sake, verse 7, in whom, Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his, that's Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of what? Sins, according to the riches of his grace. Here's God over here on his throne. And I come to God and I've got this weight. It's called sin. I can barely get over to God. I've got this sin debt so heavy. And I'm on my way to God. I'm headed toward a meeting with God. By the way, again, everyone here is headed toward a meeting with God. And on my way to heading to that meeting to God, somebody interrupts my path and says, "Hey, has anybody ever told you about Jesus?" Jesus. Well, I've heard when people hit their finger on it with a hammer, they say his name. Is that the one you're talking about? Well, yes, but he means a lot more than a curse word. It seemed to me that when I was a youngster, Grandma used to talk about somebody named Jesus. It seems to me that my grandpa talked to me about Jesus, or in some cases, I don't know who that is. By the way, that's a lot of people in the world. They still don't know who Jesus is. Somebody came across your path, Brother Andrew. They interrupted your path to the King, and they said to you, "Hey, Andrew, do you know who Jesus is?" Miss Didi, somebody came across your path on your way to the King. Everybody's headed toward a meeting with the King. And they said, "Miss Didi, do you know who Jesus is?" Dan Watson, you're heading toward a meeting with God. And somewhere along your life, I've heard your testimony, somebody said to you, "Hey Dan, has anybody ever told you about Jesus Christ? Tell me more." And I've just named a few people. I could name all of you. Because if you're sitting in this meeting right now, and you've ever sat in a meeting here, somebody has tried to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And if you know somebody that's done that, they're not special, but the God they are following is. And the Savior who they are have accepted into their life is. And if someone has the compassion, sometimes boldness enough to say, "Hey, have you ever heard about Jesus?" It's because they love you. You say, "They don't even know me." It's because they love you. It's because we love people. It's because the God of our meeting is, we're heading toward that meeting with God. It's because His love is flowing through us. You're right. Most of the time, there's no way a human being could love someone in that fashion. But when we have met Jesus Christ, oh, by the way, these ones that I mentioned, I know they've met Jesus Christ. I know many of you have as well. So I'm not using them as better than you. So here's what happens. Brother Dan, excuse me. He's on his way to meet God. Somebody intercepts him on the way to God and says, "Hey Dan, have you ever heard about Jesus Christ?" "You know, I have, but tell me more." Anyway, that begins a journey. That begins a journey to know who Jesus is. That begins a journey to know why Jesus came. That begins a journey to discover God's forever forgiveness. And at one point in Brother Dan's life, before he was a brother, he fell under conviction. He recognized that he had a debt of 10,000 talents and more. Jesus went to the cross for Dan's debt, for Andrew's debt, for Didi's debt, for my debt, for your debt. Dan recognized Jesus Christ loved him and died for him. And Dan, I know, accepted Jesus Christ as his. By the way, Dan is still headed toward a meeting with God. But it's different now. Because now, on his way to his meeting with God, he gets some new clothes. He gets a robe of righteousness. from the Lord Jesus. When he stands before God someday, God will not see Dan's sin. He will see his son's righteousness. He will see the record of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's record has no blemishes. His record has no marks on it. It has no sin on it. And when God looks, if you have met Jesus, you'll stand before God, and he too will see the record of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only way you and I can enter into heaven someday. And so we see back in the text of Matthew chapter 18, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him. I have to ask you this question. Have you been loosed of your debt? The only way you can be loosed of your debt is what Paul said in Ephesians 1:7. We read it just a moment ago. By the shedding of Christ's blood and the applying of that shed blood to my account is how my record has been taken from 10,000 down to zero. And if yours was 15 or 20 or 30, down to zero. Can you imagine the joy that must have come to that servant in verse 27? He was no longer bound. He was free. He was no longer burdened. He was forgiven. He was no longer carrying the weight of his debt. He was no longer carrying the worry, the weight of debt, the worry, everything that was heavy on him as he approached the king, and the decree of the king was what it was. Now the king, moved with compassion, says, okay, your debt is now eliminated. He started with a debt of 10,000 talents. Jesus is trying to say it was beyond reach. Before we go any further, I'm not going to have an invitation yet, but there might be several people in here today that you represent this first servant. You are on your way to a meeting with God, and someone has intercepted your path and said, whoa, wait a minute now. Do you know about Jesus Christ? By the way, anybody that's ever done that for you, praise God. I'm so glad I can look back on my life at many people who got in my path. When I'm headed to God, my meeting with God, parents got in my path, pastors got in my path, just laymen got in my path. I don't mean just, sorry about that, but good, hardworking men in the church, ladies in the church. I had a lady Sunday school teacher for many years. She's now with the Lord. She got in my path, and she said, hey, have you ever heard about Jesus? I have such great memories of those people that got in my path, and I am not a self-made man. I am a product of so many people's lives, and by the grace of God, when I stand before him someday, he's not going to see Ben's debt. He's going to see Christ's righteousness. Some of you are on the journey to God today. Somebody has got in your path, and they're trying to tell you about Jesus. Keep listening, please. Keep listening to them as they say, read the Bible. You'll find him in his word. Don't shove those people away. And in fact, be thankful that God in his mercy brought the gospel. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe that's you. In just a minute, 5-10 minutes or so, this preaching time is going to be over. We're going to have an invitation song. If you are not sure you're saved, you're this first servant. By the way, I can tell you this right now, God has enough compassion for you. Just let God save you. But we see a second instance. 28. The same servant. Now this is a representation of, in my opinion, humbly, the saved here today. Debt's been forgiven. Right? He's forgiven, right? His debt was just wiped out. The same servant found one of his fellow servants. So he found a brother in Christ, which owed him 100 pence. He owed him 100, approximately 100, and just for the sake of time, 100 days' wages. Now, the first guy, same servant, Jesus says 10,000, basically to say, there's no way to even tell you how heavy this debt was. This guy who's just been forgiven goes and finds someone who owes him 100 pence. Very minuscule in compared to what he owed the king. Now we're talking on a level of you and me. First one was a level of me and God. Now it's a level of us as humans together, okay? And he laid hands on him. Did the king lay hands on the servant at all? No. Did the king have the authority to lay hands on the servant? Yes, he did. We see in no way does the king treat this servant, the first servant, in any way like that. He just goes immediately to someone who owes him 100 pence, and the Bible says that he grabbed him. Now, I won't demonstrate that. That would never be anything you would want to do to anybody unless they were threatening your life. Another servant, and he grabs him by the throat. And he says, pay me or else. We see verse 29. Same response by his fellow servant. Humbly. Have patience with me. You think Jesus is making a point here? You know, every word of God is inspired. It's in there on purpose. He uses the same word his first servant used to the king. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And now here's where we find many times in churches, in homes, here's where we find the same problem. We who were forgiven of insurmountable debt, have no compassion on someone who owes us beans, a sack of potatoes, a bag of rice, whatever analogy you want. It means nothing compared to 10,000 talents. Look what the Bible says. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison. Can you imagine? By the way, some of you can't imagine, because it's happened in churches where you've been. And I hope it would never be here. Somebody comes to you and seeks forgiveness, and we have the audacity to not give forgiveness. When we bowed before the king who we owed everything to, and he said, I love you, I forgive you of all your sin, you can have eternal life. That is not to say that some of us possibly in this room have been greatly, greatly hurt. Please don't think I'm trying to belittle that. I'm just trying to say there's a reason why God put this passage in the Bible. And for me today, it's so that I, as a fellow servant to you who are a fellow servant, would never grab you by the throat, literally or figuratively. And the same for me to you, that I would hope that if I ever needed to come to you, and I'm sure it'll happen, and I've got to say, hey, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? That you would say, yes, Pastor, I forgive you. It's not what this servant did. He threw that other fellow servant into jail, and he said, you're going to rot in that prison cell until you can pay me everything. And some of us in here today have been treating someone else like that, or someone has been treating us like that. Look, we all fail one another from time to time. We all sin. We all choose to sin. We all get into sin. But we all have the opportunity to come to a forgiving God and say, God, would you please forgive me? Off the tracks a little bit. I got off on the wrong side of the road a little bit. And God says, yes, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you, 1 John 1:9, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I don't know why it is, but when someone wrongs us and they come to us or they don't come to us, we're going to hang that 100 pence over their head until they die or until they pay it. Jesus said, that's no way to act. That's not God's forever forgiveness. Let's read on quickly. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their Lord. They went to the king. King, you're not going to believe this. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all but that debt because thou desirest me. Friends, today, where are you? Are you that first servant on your way to God? You still owe God a great debt. Let me just say, God has already paid your sin debt. You just have to receive Jesus Christ by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're on your way to a meeting with God. We all are. But have you met Jesus yet? If not, it's time to meet Jesus today. Meet Jesus today. He will never fail you. He will never cast you out. Many of you maybe have already met Jesus. You're on your way to God too. And we've got to work together as a church family. And every once in a while, someone in the same family sins against someone else in the family. I'm not saying we should do it, but it happens. May God help me to extend forgiveness as God has extended to me. And by the way, the only way to extend forgiveness is by God's grace. I can only forgive if I let God forgive through me. Every night we taught the kids, discovering God's forever forgiveness. Have you discovered God's forever forgiveness? Are you on your way to heaven? Who is there in your life, past, current? They may not even be a Christian. I believe this. To me, I look at this and I see the example of fellow servant as an example of another Christian. Who is it that's your sister or your brother needs to be forgiven? The king reminds him, by the way, through that, the king reminds him of everything that he did for him. Oh, God's been so good to us. God's been so good to me. I'm undeserving of any of it. I'm so thankful that I'm ready to meet God. Our 89-year-old brother over there in that hospital bed, Surrey, let's look at some pictures of him today from the past. One picture last summer, he was at the seniors event. He had shades on. Brother Art smiling from ear to ear. Brother Art always had the joy of the Lord. He always has something funny to say, like he's a work of art and all that. I art fine. You've heard him say that hundreds of times. He's laying in a hospital bed. But you know what? He's ready to meet God. He's ready to meet God. Why? Because somebody got in his path and said, Art, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Told him about Jesus Christ. Art got saved. I don't remember how old he was. Are you ready to meet God?